The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and for the next hour, information you can use to improve your good health, information you can use to prevent issues from arising. And we are sponsored by Advanced Medical Testing Centers, and that's one of the ways that you can focus your efforts on supporting your good health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin. Good
morning, Janet. There's a lot of information coming over the news, and I want to get to one of the important topics. But before that, I want to talk about something that's not being reported in the news, or at least it's not getting the attention it deserves.
So it's on the last page after the classifieds in the newspaper, or it's very, very far into a Google search?
Well, I would categorize this as some good information and some misinformation.
Okay. Now, misinformation leads me to believe that people are misunderstanding, and disinformation leads me to believe that there is a deliberate effort to misguide.
All right. How about just misleading information?
Okay. All right. Okay. Misleading information.
So the headline is, and this is from, let's see, the website would be one of the government websites. And they say one in six seniors are taking dangerous combination of medications and supplements, a study shows. So they put in the supplements to that dangerous combination.
So they are not specifically talking about all of the seniors that I routinely see taking 10 and 12 pharmaceuticals. And the published side effects of those pharmaceuticals individually contribute to a lot of the symptoms the person is complaining about.
Well, here's what they say. More seniors than ever are taking supplements alongside their medications, and they're concerned about that. They say that puts them at risk for dangerous drug interactions.
Well, there's a very, very nice website that I routinely consult when I have someone with a lengthy list of pharmaceuticals and supplements, and it's drugs.com. And they have a very, very easily maneuverable website that will let you check interactions with other drugs and interactions with supplements.
Well, you know, the reason why this is of import for our listeners, because doctors are going to tell you, don't take those supplements because that's what they do, or those supplements are dangerous, or even worse, those supplements are worthless. More than 15% of older Americans took potentially life-threatening combinations of prescription medications, over-the-counter drugs, and dietary supplements in 2011. That was an almost twofold increase since 2005. When only 8.4% of seniors did so. So what are they worried about, that people are getting supplements?
I think they might be worried about that. And so many of the people are taking supplements to help overcome the side effects of a drug they're taking.
We'll see, you know, if we can figure out exactly what they're talking about. I don't think you can, because they're being extremely vague. But here's what they said. Many of the interactions involved heart drugs and supplements, such as omega-3 fish oils, which are more commonly used now than they were 5 years ago. So they're worried about fish oil.
But they're not worried about Coumadin? Hmm. Well, Xarelto?
To be on the safe side, patients should always tell their doctor and pharmacist about all the drugs and supplements they're taking or plan to take, including over-the-counter medications. And that's true. But the way they're lumping it all together, plus I think one could argue, at least I will, if you're seeing you have more dangerous combinations of medications being used, but if you're seeing more serious side effects, because the doctors aren't monitoring their patients appropriately, I see patients basically being ignored for months at a time, and go ahead and take your medication and see you next year kind of practice of medicine. So they go on to say here, a medication or supplement may be safe and beneficial when you use it alone, but when you mix it with other medications or supplements, it may be very dangerous. So I'm going to say that statement is true, but not for supplements in general. I think vitamins and minerals are extremely safe. The group that you have the potential to create problems are herbal supplements.
Okay. I'm thinking of one particular combination that I have seen over time can be problematic, and it involves one of my pet focus pharmaceuticals, and what I'm talking about are statin class drugs. Very often I see people, in addition to the statin they're taking, also taking red yeast rice. And that is very, very hard on your liver. Then, again, people are very much aware of the benefits of niacin with regard to lowering cholesterol levels. And taking niacin in combination with a statin drug also can be an overload for your liver, very difficult for your liver to handle. So there's an herb, the red yeast rice. There's the vitamin, niacin. So used individually and as part of a really important health-supporting diet, very important. But when combined with statins, could be dangerous.
Now, the study I'm referring to was just published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine on March 21st. And they looked at over 2,300 older adults and their use of medications and supplements in the year 2005. And then they looked at them again in the year 2011. And they were between the ages of 62 and 85. And the investigators found that the number of people taking at least five prescription drugs rose from over 30% to almost 36% during that period. In addition, the number of seniors taking five or more medications or supplements increased from over 53% to slightly over 67%. Oh, you know what I think this is, you know, getting to is, well, if you're taking a supplement with a medication and something bad happens, it's the supplement's fault. They never talk about what if you're not taking any supplements and something bad happens. They sort of ignore that. That's what the study is about, sort of cherry-picking information. But over the same period, the use of over-the-counter medications dropped from slightly over 44% to almost 38%, while the use of dietary supplements rose from 52% to 64%. And I think I have an idea why the over-the-counter medications dropped, because as more and more people have prescription drug plans, they'd rather get a prescription for some of the drugs that are also available over the counter, because I've had patients asking me for those. Now, the most common supplements used were multivitamins or mineral supplements and calcium. Well, I'm going to tell you, they don't give you serious side effects. And if you're using if you're taking it alongside a drug where it might give you a serious side effect, then I think you shouldn't take the drug. So they go on to say it's not enough to know the number of medications and supplements patients are taking because it doesn't tell which are helping or which are hurting. And that was from a professor of medicine. So you know the mindset of
that gentleman's opinion.
Well, that's the, that's not just his mindset. That's mainstream medicine's mindset.
So they have this very, very narrow view that the only way to address a health issue is a pharmaceutical.
So they do give an example because they're really concerned about the need for identifying the problems associated with this medication and supplement combination taking. So they want to devise a way to help people avoid these problems. And here's the problem that they give an example of. Someone's taking St. John's wort, and they're taking that for depression, and that can affect how other drugs work. Because you have to understand, unlike vitamins and minerals, which are essential nutrients for the body, herbal medications play a different role, even though they may be natural. They have different effects. And I would say, Janet, and you could disagree with me as you...
So we might arm wrestle over this one?
And I'll say the same thing about medications. There isn't such a thing as an herb deficiency for the body.
Okay. I agree with that. However, when there is a dysfunction in a certain system mm-hmm. or organ of the body, very often an herbal approach would be much more reasonable than going directly to a pharmaceutical.
Yes.
I kind of look at it as almost interim
exactly.
medicine.
So the way it would work is if the doctor is suggesting a prescription drug, there may be herbal medications that might offer a benefit without the list of side effects.
And I will disagree with the connotation herbal medication. I'll talk about it herbal formulations, and keeping in mind that these herbal formulations usually have hundreds of years mm-hmm. of use in humans.
Or you can just call them plant supplements.
All right.
So they're worried about people taking St. John's wort because it could interfere with some immunosuppressants.
True.
Of the HIV AIDS drugs, birth control pills, blood thinners like Coumadin, the heart drug digoxin, and some tranquilizers like Xanax. That's what they're worried about.
It's more to come. I hear that music in the background, and very important discussion for our listeners to take in. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We will be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are talking about some very, very important information for our listeners. Anyone who is taking an herbal supplement vitamin mineral combinations, anyone who's using over-the-counter drugs, drugs that are available without a prescription, but keep in mind they are drugs. They do have a pharmacological effect on your body.
In another study, they said doctors are not asking their patients about the use of complementary and alternative medicines. And on the other side of that, the patients aren't telling their doctors about the supplements they're using.
And it's very interesting because as a part of the conversation that I have with clients, I tell them it's very important to let their doctors know what they're taking, because if there should arise a problem, it is important that the doctor have full information.
Yeah, examples say that the use of herbs and supplements may interact negatively with prescription drugs, but this is the one that really got me, or movement-based therapies such as yoga.
What?
Because yoga may counteract prescribed physical therapy. My feeling on that is if you can do yoga, you probably don't need physical therapy.
There you go.
Partly a government-run study, or it's published there. I think there's far more to worry about, and this is another area. This is another headline that this has reached the headlines all over, and it says here, and I see this firsthand. The CDC issues tough new guidelines on the use of prescription painkillers. This is what they're worried about. This is like the real headline, because they're worried about the epidemic drug abuse tied to prescription narcotic painkillers such as OxyContin, Percocet, Vicodin. Now, if you're one of the patients that requires pain medication, this is not good news for you because they're making it extremely difficult. I have patients unable to fill their prescriptions, and when I call the insurance company, it's like MedMark, Medcare, CVS, something like that. And they tell me, well, we have guidelines from the DEA. And then you look up, does the DEA issue guidelines? They said, no, we don't tell the pharmacists what to do. They're on their own. So they're pointing fingers at each other. And meanwhile, the patient that needs the medication doesn't get it. Now, I have to tell you that narcotic pain medications, when used as prescribed, when taken appropriately, are one of the safest classes of medications. And I'm talking about the opiates, not the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. We'll get into the dangers of those in a minute. Not the Tylenol or acetaminophen. Those are real dangerous drugs. But the opiates or narcotics, those are the safe ones when taken the way you're told to take it. Now, should everybody be expected to, well, should people that need those medications be deprived because somebody has a problem with people confusing the appropriate use of pain medicine with the recreational use of these substances? So instead of, and here's what they're doing. So instead of doing their job in policing the streets on drug use, they're just stopping the sale of all these drugs for legitimate uses.
How about the aspect of the FDA attempting to classify cannabidiol as a drug? And that is substance that is very effective at managing pain.
Well, we were talking about CBD oil, and what it was is they issued a study was undertaken by a drug company. So once they take a natural product and say we're going to study it as a drug, then the people who were promoting it naturally apparently can't do it. We ought to call up some of those companies, see how they're affected by it. Now, this is the excuse that the CDC issues, why they're so concerned about prescription opioid overdoses. Now, that's an important point to make, overdoses. You see, when you take all the other drugs appropriately, you can still have serious side effects, and we'll get into that also. But these are overdoses, people taking too much medication or maybe combining the medication with others. But to deprive the people that use it appropriately is wrong. They say more than 40 Americans die each and every day from opioid overdoses. And that goes along with the increased prescribing of opioids, which has quadrupled since 1999, and is fueling an epidemic that is blurring the lines between prescription opioids and illicit opioids. So what they're really saying is some of these drugs make it to the street, so we're going to stop that from happening by stopping people from getting the medication they need. And you know what? And the elected politicians are doing nothing to help the patients that need this relief. Now, some people say that depriving people of the pain medication they need is a form of torture, because to live in pain is torture.
It's absolutely heartbreaking, the pain situation for many patients.
They're saying that fatal drug overdoses has reached record highs in the United States, driven largely by the abuse of prescription painkillers and another opioid, heroin. Well, let's talk about that. What they don't say, you know, they're combining all the statistics together, and it's been discussed that the underprescribing of pain medication is just as bad as the overprescribing. And what happens is when you underprescribe, those patients then look for alternative pain relief, and that may be where you're getting these higher statistics.
You may drive the patient to almost an area of self-prescribing and overdosing the particular pain-relieving medication, and possibly also combining it with other forms of medication. One of the things that I think about, Dr. Slavin, is, okay, some of these pharmaceuticals do wind up in the street. So here's the manufacturer, the pharmaceutical company, supposedly meeting all of the criteria for being able to track the particular pharmaceutical that they are manufacturing. And there's X number of prescriptions written each year, and that pharmaceutical company is producing 10 times the amount of that pharmaceutical, 10 times the number of prescriptions written for the drug each year. So is there no responsibility on the part of the manufacturing corporation to be able to track the pharmaceutical that they're manufacturing? And would that not point up that some of these drugs are winding up on the street in the black market? It's something that is just absolutely accepted.
So I want you to keep this number in mind. They say more than 40 Americans die each day and every day from prescription opioid overdoses. So if you multiply 40 times 365, you come up with 14,600 deaths a year. So let's compare that with the number of people dying from
properly prescribed medication use.
Smoking. More than 16 million Americans are living with a disease caused by smoking. And for every person who dies because of smoking, at least 30 people live with it. How many people are dying from smoking? Let's see what they say. 8 million deaths annually by 2030. In the United States, you have cigarette smoking responsible for more than 480,000 deaths per year, including 42,000 deaths from secondhand smoke. Now, what did I say? 14,500 from opioids.
Overdoses.
So, not appropriately used.
Right.
But opioids. Here are cigarettes used appropriately. One might say any puff on a cigarette is inappropriate, which is probably the correct statement, but you have 480,000 deaths a year from cigarettes. You don't hear anybody worried about that.
Well, we have a printed warning on the pack of cigarettes from the Surgeon General. Isn't that enough, Dr. Slavin?
Sure. I mean,
right.
Here's the other thing. The total economic cost of smoking is more than $300 billion a year, including $170 billion on direct medical care of adults, and another $156 billion in lost productivity due to premature death and exposure to secondhand smoke. So, all right, so smoking is not important because only, how much do we, 480,000 people die a year from that, but the 14,000 dying from overdoses of opioids, that's the headline. I just wonder.
Where are the priorities?
Now, let's look at alcohol for a second. We all know that drinking too much can harm your health. Excessive alcohol use leads to approximately 88,000 deaths and 2.5 million years of potential life lost each year in the United States. So you get 88,000 deaths from alcohol. You have 480,000 deaths from cigarettes. You have 14,500 from opioids.
Are the priorities?
Yes. And now let's look at the drugs that they're promoting instead of using opioids. That's the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, plus acetaminophen, which is an analgesic but is not categorized as an anti-inflammatory. And these drugs came out to replace the opiates, mostly, you know, to understand how healthcare works, you got to just follow the money. You know, opioids and narcotics are really inexpensive, relatively speaking, especially when they go off patent. So you come up with a new category of drug and you promote the heck out of it. So you
rake in the billions of dollars.
So with nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, they say an estimated 60 million Americans regularly use them. That's like Motrin, Advil, Aleve.
And people don't necessarily think there's any danger.
And they result in clinically significant upper GI complications in up to 2% of the users. So that translates to 1.2 million cases. More than 80% of patients developing GI complications have no prior symptoms or warnings. Mind you, these are people using it properly. And then gastrointestinal hemorrhage due to the use of these drugs results in up to 120,000 hospital admissions annually. So they say here, from nonsteroidals now, 16,500 people die from NSAID-related GI adverse events each year. Now, that's more than the use of from opiates. And they're making a big deal about opiates, and nobody mentions the alternatives that they keep promoting.
Okay, how many deaths a year was that from
16,500.
Okay.
Let me see where I'm getting this information from.
What's very, very interesting with regard to the NSAIDs and then combining it with the information about the alcohol-related deaths, nobody reads the warnings on the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drug packages that say not to combine these drugs with any alcoholic beverages.
But that number is low, that 16,500. I'm going to tell you why. That was a study that looked at the deaths associated with the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory prescriptions for rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis. It did not take into account deaths from over-the-counter NSAIDs and the cardiotoxic influence of NSAIDs on mortality. Those were not known at the time, so they were not included. So there's more on this.
Wow. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zamorelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. More to come.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Hi, I'm Janet Zamorelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991 to learn all about the services offered at the Institute, services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about the combinations of drugs that may create problems, and then the use of pain medication and the government agencies, the CDC, different organizations pushing people away from the effective pain relief medications that they need, and then talking about how many people die each year with this medication use. And when it is not an appropriate dose of medication, then what are the people in pain going to do? They're going to turn to making decisions for themselves about how much to take to relieve the pain. They're going to add over-the-counter pain relievers improperly, possibly even turn to self-medication with alcohol. Dr. Slavin?
Now, there's a graph here published, and I'll point it out to Janet. You see the graph?
I see the graph.
And they're comparing the number of deaths from taking acetaminophen, opioids, and NSAIDs. And the NSAIDs, the deaths associated with NSAID use is more than double the use of opioids. But this is what they're promoting, the use of NSAIDs.
And this is something that people routinely feel extremely safe. They've been frightened, so to speak, about the use of opioids, and here's the better alternative is what they've been led to believe.
So when you look at this information, they say in this report, it's puzzling that the FDA is focusing on promoting further restrictions and controls of the Tylenol products and the opioid products. And they say if that initiative is successful, it could have unintended consequences of driving a shift toward increased use of NSAIDs, which are far more dangerous, and therefore more deaths associated with those medications. And I have to tell you, people start off a lot of times taking NSAIDs for their pain. If it's not adequate or they have side effects, they'll usually switch to an opiate, which is a far safer category. I test people. We talked about heart rate variability, a way of testing the health of your autonomic nervous system. It tests the level of stress your mind and body are going through. And when I test the people taking narcotics for their pain, they come out very well. Their stress levels are low. Their body, their autonomic nervous system is not being stressed. And stress is a factor that we'll have time to discuss shortly. But now there's controversy about taking a daily aspirin, the 81 milligrams a day. That's the baby aspirin. Used as an antithrombotic for preventing heart attacks. They say, although possibly appropriate in high-risk individuals, emphasize high risk, there are still dangers of GI complications with such therapies, particularly in the elderly, and the relative benefit in men versus women need further elaboration. In one retrospective large-scale investigation of medical records, patients taking daily low-dose aspirin combined periodically, in other words, on and off with some Motrin or ibuprofen or naproxen, which is Aleve, had up to a threefold increased risk of GI complications. And the other thing, while we're talking about NSAIDs, this is the one that people aren't even aware of right now. They report that the regular use of NSAIDs may increase the likelihood of cardiovascular-related death by up to 200%.
It's very interesting because people feel extremely safe when they're using those 81 milligram very low dose aspirin. However, just a few months ago, it was in the news that Bayer could no longer publicize heart health as part of the benefits associated with the daily use of that low-dose aspirin.
Well, here's something else. They're attributing hearing loss to non-opioid analgesics. In other words, the NSAIDs. That's been published in the American Journal of Medicine. Researchers have reported on a survey of nearly 27,000 men, which was repeated every 2 years between the years 1986 and 2004. About one-fourth of the men had been diagnosed with hearing loss, and those who used non-opioid pain relievers at least twice weekly were more susceptible than non-users. Aspirin users were 12% more likely to have hearing loss. Those taking other NSAIDs were 21% more likely. Users of acetaminophen were 22% more likely compared to non-users. So if you don't want to lose your hearing, use opiates.
The thing, going back to aspirin, Dr. Slavin, my understanding of it is it will prevent the platelets from sticking together, so blood flow is enhanced. However, it has the potential to make the smaller blood vessels more fragile, where they would break or leak. So very much a problematic scenario. And then, of course, the blood vessels lining your digestive tract near the surface of the tissue, those blood vessels, again, very likely to break and leak and leading to GI bleeding.
I think a better way to look at this whole problem is when you get all the information and you look at it overall, they say, judging by the available evidence, it seems apparent that the concept of safe analgesia, meaning safe ways to control pain, is an oxymoron. There are no safe ways to control pain. There may be safer ways than others, but from the information that I'm relaying to you, one of the safer ways is opiates, not the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which are being promoted. And the problem, too, is they surveyed Americans, indicated that 8 out of 10 Americans who use over-the-counter NSAIDs, that's the ibuprofen, Aleve, to some extent each year, most of them, up to 60%, are either unaware or not concerned about the potential adverse events. You know, a lot of times a patient will come to me taking these NSAIDs chronically, and I'll switch them to an opiate because it's far safer, despite what you're reading. And that's why I say I don't understand their end game. When you understand the facts and read the literature and you know how patients respond, they're just less side effects. So consequently, more than 4 out of 10 users, about 44%, take greater than recommended doses of these NSAIDs as well. So that, I think there's a real problem going on. I'm not sure why the government is getting involved in the first place, but...
It's interesting, Dr. Slavin, because I've been noticing the advertisements on television, and I believe what the product being advertised is Aleve, and they tell you that 2 Aleve will give you 12 hours of pain relief, and that would compare with taking 6 of other. Now, taking 6 of some other pain relieving formula, that would put you in some pretty significant risk of developing a side effect.
Well, they like Alonzo Mourning, he's on, he was on renal dialysis until he got his kidney transplant because of taking anti-inflammatories. Guarantee you, if he was using an opiate, he wouldn't have had that problem. So the other thing, too, is there are no warning signs necessarily when you take NSAIDs. In other words, you could be going along fine, and all of a sudden you have a GI hemorrhage and, require hospitalization.
One of the drugs that I'm thinking about that has a very, very significant use among sports figures for pain relief is Voltaren, and the potential damage to your liver with Voltaren is very high.
So here's the summary. NSAIDs are effective for relieving many types of pain, so it's okay to use it, but probably short-term, not on a chronic basis, because they carry a heavy burden of risk of not only gastrointestinal problems, GI hemorrhage requiring hospitalization, in some cases leading to death, but also cardiovascular adverse side effects. Remember we said mortality from heart disease up 200% using the NSAIDs. So this points to a need for a greater public education on NSAID hazards, and better practitioner training on therapeutic strategies to minimize risk. Acetaminophen opioids and opioid-non-opioid combination medications offer alternatives and better solutions for achieving effective analgesia without the attendant problems of NSAIDs. In other words, and I'll tell you what, I don't like acetaminophen or Tylenol either, because I won't know, and the patient might forget and have an alcohol beverage, and that in many cases has been enough to cause liver failure. So that's why the opioids, you know, are a safer choice. And if proposed FDA regulatory actions are realized, resulting in diminished access to or availability of acetaminophen and opioid products, along with a reluctance to rely on NSAIDs as awareness of their risk grows, there would be fewer analgesic choices available. And this is what I see happening. The outcome might be an unprecedented American public health crisis in terms of human suffering and morbidity. More importantly, though, and I think we're seeing the beginnings of this when they talk about heroin epidemics. You see, they're making you think all these heroin epidemics are just addicts, but I'm guaranteeing you a large amount of them are just people that need pain relief, and they can't get it, and they're resorting to getting heroin for pain relief.
So a very, very unfortunate circumstance, and people need to be aware of the dangers of combining drugs that are going to lead to a wide range of different side effects that they might not necessarily focus back on the drug that they're taking as the source of the side effect.
Now, they have an addendum here. They're saying from another source, the Center for Disease Control, National Center for Health Statistics, stated in 2005 the number of opioid deaths were 11,000 and increased to 13,800 in 2006. This is in contrast to the numbers from the other agency of 8,500 deaths in 2005. So there are inconsistencies, but here's where there's no inconsistency. It is very conservatively estimated that NSAID-related deaths have increased to 20,000 or more per year. And this is probably biased from the standpoint that they don't have all the data on how many people are actually taking NSAIDs, number one, and the fact that NSAIDs may pose a significantly greater threat to public health than opioids.
It's interesting, Dr. Slavin, when you go walk down an aisle in a drugstore where the pain relief over-the-counter medications are found, it is an incredibly huge category. And so people taking a variety of these different pain relievers, very, very significant.
So what happens when you don't have adequate pain control? You're under higher levels of stress, and I have proof of that. I did a test.
Yes, you do.
On a patient. The patient had pancreatic cancer. We knew she was sick, and we monitored her level of stress. It was off the chart. She died the next day. So we know stress is a killer, and I'll give you more information on that as well. So you don't get the pain relief. You get more stress and increase your likelihood of dying.
And you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Dr. Herb Slavin and me, Janet Cimarelli, we'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we've been talking about the importance of understanding what you are using to relieve your pain. And is it something over the counter? And are you doing appropriate foods to protect your liver? Are you avoiding alcohol? Very important points with regard to over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And then you want efficient pain relief?
Well, I would just want to summarize. So the headlines are, you know, too many people are taking opioids for pain control and they're dying from it. Well, the number is around 14,800 a year. And that's what they're worried about. Not that you shouldn't be, but you have to put everything into context. The number of people dying from alcohol consumption is about 88,000 deaths a year. The number of people dying from smoking is 480,000 deaths a year. The number of people dying from non-steroidal anti-inflammatory use is actually more, getting close to at least 20,000 a year, actually more than the people taking opiates. But this is the drug they're promoting. So, but more importantly, and here are some of the hidden dangers. So stress is a killer. I think we all knew that. But we have a device that measures stress, and we can just see how the body is dealing with stress. So I go on to say here, psychological stress can take a tremendous toll on your health. In fact, and I've talked about this before at the Annie Appleseed meetings, when you go to them, it's a group of was started by a group of women who were breast cancer survivors. And the one thing they all seemed to have in common prior to the diagnosis of breast cancer was a very stressful event in their life. So, you know, so stress can promote cancer and the spread of cancer. And I have to say, though, Janet, one last thing. The CDC is okay giving pain medicine to people with cancer. They're okay with that. So if you have a terminal illness, you can get your pain medication. But if you have non-malignant chronic pain, you're in trouble.
What I was going to say is it isn't so much that stress is promoting cancer. Stress disables your body's ability to support proper immune response to non-self cells, which is what cancer cells are. And typically your immune system would be very efficient at responding to that. But because of the chemicals that your body produces in response to stress, that immune function is essentially turned off, and the cancer cells have a background chemistry where they can proliferate.
So stress can promote cancer, promote the spread of cancer, partly because stress increases inflammation in the body, but also stress increases the risk for heart disease. So why do we want to do that to people? If they need pain medicine and we withdraw it from them, they're going to be under more stress, increasing their risk for cancer and heart disease. Maybe that's their goal.
Because this is not a system designed to support good health. It is a system designed to sell chemicals.
And then chronic stress is going to eventually impact your adrenal gland, which is like a vicious cycle. Then you can't deal with stress even more. So then you're susceptible to chronic inflammation, infection, illness, pain. I mean, it's one thing after another. And the government is just concerned about opiates, which are by far the safest approach of dealing with pain and preventing stress for individuals that require that medication.
And so what is the bottom line? What is the takeaway here for people? First of all, one of the major stressors that you have control over is the intake of sugar. Sugar creates an enormous background to create inflammation within your body, and that inflammation is a physical stressor. So when we're talking about stress, we're not just referring to that stress response, fight or flight situation, overload of work responsibility, overload of family responsibilities. We're talking about actual substances that you may be taking into your body that can contribute to the accumulation of stress-type chemicals in your body. Sugar is one of them. Certainly cigarette smoking that you talked about, Dr. Slavin, the use of alcohol, the overuse of pharmaceutical drugs. You think about the stress on your liver of that onslaught of different unknown chemicals, those chemicals meant to create a physical response. And when you combine those chemicals, the ultimate response on the part of your body, all of the different systems of your body, that response is unknown. And I'm going to add that it is different for every individual.
And Jana, we mentioned earlier, and you just mentioned sugar, but earlier we mentioned about 480,000 people in the United States die from cigarette smoking and secondhand smoke. Worldwide, you have about 5 million deaths a year from smoking cigarettes. And now what about sugar? Because you just mentioned sugar. The number attributed to the deaths attributed to sugar worldwide is 17 million deaths a year. So how does that happen? Well, if you are intaking more sugar, then you're experiencing diseases like diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. In this particular article, they say nobody dies from obesity, which is, I guess, semantics, because, I mean, obesity would be the precursor, you know. Nobody dies from cancer. They die from stoppage of breathing. I mean, if you want to use that analogy.
Stoppage of breathing will kill you.
Right. So, I mean, this is, but the point is 38 million deaths worldwide attributed to sugar, because sugar leads to obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. So,
You know, I'm talking about sugar. I'm also including in that category all of the chemical non-sucrose sweeteners. So Splenda, Sweet and Low, Equal. And then you think about how our fruits are grown now and the different types of fruit that are typically very easily available in the grocery store and health food stores, very high sugar content. So if you're going to use the fruits, just very small servings. Don't overdo it.
So sugar, to put things into context, is more deadly than opiates, than NSAIDs, than tobacco, than alcohol. It's sugar. The government telling you anything? The government putting labels on food products that say this contains sugar? Monitor your intake? No, they're not doing that.
And then, in addition to those actual, the foods that actually contain sucrose, the other underpinning of the government food pyramid, what is it? It's grains, and all of those grains convert to sugar in your body and ultimately create a stress, a pro-inflammatory, immune-suppressing stress within your body. Very, very important to make those informed food decisions.
Now, it's not just the sugar that you add to your food. So it's table sugar, brown sugar. Jana mentioned all the non-nutritive sweeteners, the artificial ones, but then you have high fructose corn syrup, maple syrup, honey, molasses, prepared foods and processed foods and beverages contain a lot of sugar. So you really want to, just pay attention, because it's so easy to be taking in too much sugar in your diet. That means
fruit juice,
even milk. You know, I tell people
you take a look at the sugar in there.
Whole milk. Whole milk has less sugar than 2%, because when they take out the fat, that means they're putting more of the carbohydrate in the milk.
So very important to understand those choices that you make every day. You may not necessarily be able to control the pain that you're experiencing, but you can certainly control the food choices that you make that are contributing to the inflammation that ultimately worsens the pain you may be experiencing. By addressing your diet and including far more vegetables than fruits, by using the highest quality fats that you have that are accessible to you, you're reducing inflammation.
Think about this. Sugar associated with obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. We don't tell the patients cut out the sugar. We just give them drugs.
Absolutely. And I hear that music in the background. That means that we are out of time here on Natural Doc Radio. And I have been speaking with Dr. Herb Slavin. We're talking about drug combinations, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, pain medications, all of the things you need to know that move you away from good health. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.